much. And right now we'd like to welcome Pastor Rob up to welcome our guest for today.
Thank you.
Amen. She does, Pastor Angela, she does an amazing job with announcements. It's the hardest thing that there is to do up here. It really is. You know, the musicians, I'll tell you, the worship was amazing today. Can you give it up for the musicians? Please go. Yeah. When we were singing that Glory to the Highest, you know, and with all the background and everything, man, I was like, I just felt like we were joining the angels, you know. And I know one of the songs we sang said that, or we join mighty, what is it, mortals join the heavenly chorus, something like that. And that's how I felt. I was just felt like, wow, this is just really awesome. And they're being used at their gifts. And then, you know, those people that are called to preach, what happens is the anointing falls on you and you're able to preach. And then it lifts off of you. And it's best if when it lifts off of you, you stop talking. Praise Jesus. I've learned that the hard way. And but announcements is one of those things that's really difficult to do. And because you stumble over your words, you're trying to get all this information in such a short time. And so I really appreciate the how Pastor Angela uses her gifts to speak to you and give you all that information. And so your job then is to listen and then not show up at 11 a.m. on the 29th of December, praise God. But at 10 a.m., everyone say 10 a.m. 9 a.m. people are not so much worried about, because if they show up, we're like, oh, great, you came to prayer. You know what I mean? So we don't really worry about them so much. But for y'all, you know, we don't want you to come here and that you've missed most of the service, praise God. How's everybody doing? Good. So here's a word of warning. You ready? Do not be distracted during this Christmas season. It's the, you know, repeat this after me. Everyone say, Jesus is the reason for the season. Yes. It's important we remember that, because every year around this time, people start getting distracted. They start stressing out about, I have to go out and shop. You don't have to go anywhere. You just sit on your couch and shop online. It comes right to your house. It's just a click. You could be done with your shopping in a half hour. You know, you don't even have to. You sit there with your hot cocoa and your sweatpants, and your husband says, what are you doing? You say, I'm doing all my Christmas shopping right now. You know, and let all those people that are out there, UPS, that, you know, get so much overtime this year, do all the heavy lifting for you. Literally, praise God. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, I'm joking a little bit, but I'm serious. There's a distraction that comes, and it's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. You know that song? It's the most wonderful time of the year. And then people find themselves in the most stressful time of the year. And then they tell each other, you know, next year we're going to do our holidays the right way, and we're going to do Christmas the right way, and we're going to let the month and the season be about, you know, the Lord. And then the next year comes, and the distractions and the stress and everything that people feel like needs to be done comes back on you. And you remember that there's a story in the scriptures about how Jesus was talking to two sisters, and one sister was just enjoying the season of having Jesus in the midst and sitting at his feet and listening, and the other one was running around doing 1,800 things. And not only was she stressed out, but she was annoyed that other people weren't stressed out with her. You know, she wanted it. She's like, I want this stress to come off of me and bring it on somebody else, and they can come to my stress party and we can all be stressed together. And Jesus rebuked her. You know, and he said, you know, you only really need to do just a couple things. Just do the couple things and then, you know, sit and enjoy the season, because the season's not about, you know, you getting so busy and distracted trying to please everybody that you get all stressed out. And look, the house will get clean. You with me? If you don't have to spend so much time wrapping presents. You should see how I wrap them. I mean, I just cover them up, throw some tape on them. Who knows what I'm talking about, you know? Or my favorite thing is the bag. Like, whoever created the bag with the tissue paper, I just want to bless that person right now. You know, right? You throw it in the bag, throw some tissue, and then the moment that they open it, you take the bag and you hide it away for next year, you know? So work smarter, not harder. Amen? Now, I want to just give you, since you came today, a little bit of a preview for this coming year. This will be the first time the Lord's really done this, but I feel like the Lord's given us a theme for 2020. I'm prophetically speaking to you about what I think is coming, a grace that is coming on the house. I don't believe it's just our house, but a grace that's coming from the Lord. The theme of this next year is going to be called Reigning in Life. Everyone say Reigning in Life. R-E-I-G. And you with me? Okay, not like rain, like, oh no, get an umbrella, but reigning, meaning have an authority in life. Because what I feel like's happening for most Christians is that their theme is reacting to life. Yes, yes, somebody said yes. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? You let life dictate, you know, how you're going to live rather than you reigning over life and reigning in life, which the scriptures tell us that we can. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but the Jesus said that he came to give us life and life abundant. Now, those are two different things. Life means eternal life. That's the reference in the Greek. And then abundant life is the life that you're supposed to experience here, but often we don't because we're just reacting to life and then wait until Jesus comes, you know, to take us out of this dysfunction that we seem to live in year after year. Now, being in the position that I've had the opportunity to be with many people at the end of their lives. And it's, you know, it's an interesting time when you find people that feel like I did what I was supposed to do. I lived the life I was supposed to live. And, you know, there's a peace that comes with that. And then, you know, I've been with some people that that are there's a rage. They're not really ready to go. They didn't do what they wanted to do with the time that they're given, but they don't have any time left. You know, as you get a little older, you know, you start to hit about 40 years old, all of a sudden, you know, you start realizing, hey, I'm not here forever. And the years, they can compound very quickly, and you can just react to life, always hoping that somehow, you know, you're going to break free from this, you know, reaction that you've been living in. And what happens is Jesus has come to give us abundant life, but part of him becoming, a part of us receiving that is him becoming the shepherd, and that we allow him to lead us. Everyone stay with me. We allow him to lead us into the areas of our life where we need to grow in. Are you with me? So this next year is going to be about growth. It's going to be about, you know, putting boundaries in place which are necessary for us to change. Or next year, we'll be making the same New Year's resolution that we made the last 17 years. Are you with me? And then what happens is you do it long enough, the next year comes, you don't even bother because you're like, you know, I'm not even going to try to change because I've gone so long and I can't change. And then that you're right where the enemy wants you because that's what he wants to do is come and steal vision from you. He wants to rob you. He wants to destroy anything that you could be. If you are saved, okay, he can't take your salvation, but he wants to come and keep you from ever living abundant life and reproducing that life anywhere on earth that you just hang on and live a miserable life. Until you go home to be with Jesus, all right? I want to say something. I went to see the play, The Christmas Carol, a few weeks ago. Wonderful play. You guys are all familiar with The Christmas Carol, I'm sure. How many have seen it? Raise your hands. Maybe not live, but you've seen it on TV or something. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about, Ebenezer Scrooge, right? Do you remember in the morning when Scrooge wakes up and he finds out that he's still there, it's Christmas Day, and that the opportunities are in front of him? Do you remember the joy that comes in him? So many people watch that show every year and they miss the entire point. You know, they're happy for Scrooge, but it doesn't affect their life at all. You understand? We need to wake up and recognize we're still here. And God wants to, you know, take us places and cause us to grow and give us opportunities to demonstrate kindness and do the things that he's called us to do. If you were here on Wednesday night, many of you were here, I talked about the Bible said that there's good works that have been prepared ahead of time. And it's not that you have to go try to, you know, come up with all these good things to do, but it's that when you walk with the Lord and you have the proper boundaries in your life, you walk right into the good works that by his grace he's prepared for you. And at the end of your life, you'll be able to like go to be with the Lord in peace, recognizing that you didn't waste all the time that you were here. Are you hearing me? All right, so here's your homework assignment. Starting in the new year, I'm going to be studying for the first month or so. We're going to study some things in the book of Nehemiah. Everyone say Nehemiah. Many of you know that Nehemiah had a wall building assignment. Okay, we're going to start to look at that, because if we're going to take authority over our lives and begin to reign over the things that have reigned over us, we're going to have some boundaries that are put in place in our life. So we're going to take a look at when Nehemiah was called back by the Lord to raise the boundaries up, to raise the walls back up, because you're not going to be able to, you know, ever do anything unless you have some boundaries that are put in place in your life. How many know that the enemy does not want those walls put up? When you study the book of Nehemiah, he got all upset when the walls started to come up. Why? Because when there are boundaries, it's more difficult for him to attack you. You with me? When there's no boundaries, then you're going to find yourself in a situation where the enemy could just come in and run rampant all over your whole world, and then next year you're making another New Year's resolution. Are you with me? So the Lord is giving us a grace to actually get control over those desires that have been in our heart. He doesn't put them there to frustrate us, but he actually puts those dreams and visions in our heart with the intention of bringing them to pass. So the desires that you have, if you partner with him, are led by the Holy Spirit and allow him to shepherd you, the same things that have a hold of you now will not in the next year, because grace has come to break that bondage off of your life. So I'm prophesying to you about what we are about to walk into in a season in the Spirit and the things that God wants to speak to us in the next year. Can you say amen? All right. So what do I need you to do? You need to start reading the book of Nehemiah now. That when I make a reference, you know, you can hit your spouse and go, I know what he's talking about. You know, and then if your spouse didn't read, they just, no. So start reading it now. Everyone say Nehemiah. Okay, so then you're ready in your arm. Praise God. Amen. Okay, so I guess about 15, 16 years ago, around that time, I was teaching at the middle school right down the road, Citrus Springs Middle School, and it was early in the year. The students haven't even come yet, and it's time when, like, there's new teachers that are coming, and some of them come from other states, and they move. And there was a new teacher that came, and I hadn't met him yet, but it was the Friday of the first week. The kids would start on Monday. No kids yet, but the teacher's been there all week. And it was Friday, and I was playing basketball in the gym with some teachers after school. I used to play basketball, but now I find it's better just to run straight. You know, if you're going to run at all, better to run straight than, you know, it gets harder. So you know what I'm talking about. So, but I was playing basketball, and I was just getting ready to leave. It was 4:30, almost pushing 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And the principal came in, and he had a new teacher with him by the name of Shannon Stone. I had never met him. I just saw his name, that he was going to be part of our English department. And Mr. Farrell was a principal, and he was running around the school looking for guys that would help Shannon unpack his moving truck that had just come from New Hampshire. Now, it's a Friday afternoon, and the first week of school, and I'm tired, and I just played basketball, and I'm all sweaty, and I don't even know this guy. So I the first thing I thought was, I don't want to do that, you know. I just want to go home. I don't want to move anybody right now. Not only do I not want to lift heavy furniture on a Friday afternoon, but then there's the awkwardness of, I don't even know the guy that I'm helping move. Are you with me? You know, and then, but the thing was, is it was back during that time when the What Would Jesus Do movement was happening, and I happened to have on one of the bracelets, WWJD, you remember that? You know, and I saw that bracelet, and I was like, ugh. So he was standing there with Shannon, and Shannon was smiling, and I said, oh, I'll do it. Where are you moving to? And then I found out they were moving actually right down the road from us, just a couple miles from our house in Inverness. So I was like, well, that's more convenient. I'm glad he wasn't moving to Ocala or Dunellen or something. So I followed him to his house that they were moving into, and his wife, Cornet, was there, and they had three-week-old baby, so she couldn't help move anything. She was taking care of the baby, and then their daughter was 5 years old, and Micah, and she was standing behind Cornet. Shannon was a very soft-spoken man, and I'm not, and so I remember when I met Micah, I said, hey, how you doing? And she went and hid behind her mom, you know, and I was like, I don't wonder why she's hiding from me. But then I met Shannon. I realized I scared her, you know. So Shannon and I were moving the furniture, and I found out he was a Christian, and then I found out he was Spirit-filled, that he'd done some mission work, and then I realized this was a God connection. You know, I invited him to church, and there he was working in the English department. And what happened was, he became one of my best friends that I ever had in my entire life. And it started that way. And they came to church, and I introduced his wife, Cornay, to my wife, Chris. And his wife, Cornay, became my wife's very best friend, you know. And they rolled together like this for years. And then little Micah, who was 5 years old, became best friends with my daughter, Hannah, who was also 5 years old at the time. And then the little baby Shiloh became really good friends with Caden when Caden came along in another year or two. I forget. He's a little younger. And our families got intertwined like this. So we were very sad and very happy, but very sad when the Lord called them to go to South Africa as full-time missionaries, really to never come back. Cornay was born in South Africa. Shannon's from South Florida. And they went back to South Africa, and they built a cob house. A cob house is like with mud and sand, and it's very labor-intensive. It takes a really long time to build, but once you build them, they last forever. In England, there's over 10,000 cob houses that are over 500 years old. So like once you build one, then they last forever. So Shannon went and he spent the first literally couple years, you know, building this house, and they started ministering to all these little children, orphans and grandmothers, widows, and, you know, feeding people, clothing people, doing, they had outreach called Bible and Blanket, and giving Bibles, giving blankets, praying for the sick. And the Lord worked with them. They were able to establish a church and birth a church. And they were, they've seen so many multiple healings as they've gone and just prayed for people. And nothing, what I love about their ministry is it's just so pure. Nothing's embellished at all. They go and they say, this person we prayed and they had a stomach ache and they said they felt a little better. And then the next sentence is, this person we prayed and they were blind and their blind eyes open. And this person, their foot hurt and we prayed and they said that the foot felt a little better. You know, so it's just exactly what happened. No embellishment at all. And I love that. Because there's a tendency to try to, you know, embellish things that God is doing sometimes, and we don't really need to embellish what God's doing. You know what I mean? God's doing enough without us trying to help him out with stretching the story. So I really appreciate that. Well, anyway, their family is here today. Shannon's still in Africa, but this is Cornay Stone right here. Praise God. And this is Micah, who was 5 years old when we met, and then this is Shiloh, who is only 3 weeks old when we met, and they've come from South Africa. We support their ministry. Many of you, if you've been here a while, you recall about 6 months ago, we sent enough money to buy 300 kids jackets and some of the grandmothers some jackets because they're heading into the winter because of the Southern Hemisphere. And the jackets were able to open up doors for the gospel to be preached. And Miss Cornay will tell you more about it. And since I was raised Catholic, can you please stand one more time and welcome Miss Cornay? Praise Jesus.
Thank you. Am I on? Okay, thank you. I don't know how this works. So it's so good to be here. It's so good to see you all. You're so beautiful. And thank you so much for praying for us and giving. It's just so amazing. I guess I forgot to tell in the first service, Shannon can't be here because we just couldn't find somebody to take care of our ministry. So it's not just like we can up and leave and lock the door. There's the children still need to be fed. Somebody needs to look after our house and the ministry, and it's kind of hard to find somebody to house it. So he decided to sacrificially stay behind. He might come a bit later. So he says hi. So let's look at some photos first. This is one of our feeding spots. We have three. One in the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church, just so you know, they said we could preach the Holy Spirit, but they are right across from the school, so it's really easy for the children to access, and it's safe. So this is one of the homes that they cook the food, and they are the smaller ones, and the ones that come out of school earlier. And that's Miriam. I've worked with her for 7 years. She's amazing. She's a preacher and a prophet. and a cook. And she's cooking for these children. She's cooking from our house, and we also have one of the Bible studies at our house there. And there's Elizabeth. She's adorable and very cute. And that's Bean Stew. She's cooking at the Catholic Church. As Marian's, again, sometimes there's really a long line, and we feed about like 300 children from both all the areas. And that's them. They bring their own bowls, because I'm not going to watch 300 bowls. They can do it. And this little granny, I'm really going to talk a bit about her. Kind of forgot the first service. She's the mother of a Sangoma, witch doctor, same thing. So she was living in this house, and Miriam just felt to go into that house. So we went in, and the whole house was like covered in pigeons. There was something about that in the spirit. But her son I've seen before, and he wasn't really keen on accepting Christ. So I went back to check on him, but then she was there. And I asked her, "Do you know Jesus?" And she's like, "No, I've never heard that name." So there are people that has never heard the name of Jesus. I said, "Well, do you know the Holy Spirit?" And she's like, "I know the Holy Spirits." So ancestral worship is really very, like everybody does it, even Christians. So when they say that South Africa is a nation, of many Christian churches, it's not Christian. They are. It's a mixture between ancestral beliefs, witchcraft, and then a little bit of the word. So she knew the Holy Spirit as the spirits of the ancestors. But at the end of the day, she accepted Christ, and it was just amazing. She was just so ready. She accepted Christ, and after she was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, she got healed from, I think, chest pain. And then when we saw her again, she had an incredible weakness. She's quite up there in age. She said she's going to fetch her own water now. Yeah. Because those homes doesn't have running water. And so they have one faucet in the street, and they all have to go and fetch their own water. And every time I see her, she's like, "Glory God, glory Jesus." So she's just adorable. In this house, we went there first with a blanket and Bible outreach. Those grannies are looking after all those children, and there's a Sangoma also there. This lady that stand, her sister got healed from hearing. She has completely kind of like 90% deaf, but we prayed for her, prayed. There was months going by, and then finally, I saw her again, like maybe a year after we started praying, and I'm like, "How's your ears?" And she says, "It's all healed. I can hear." And I would never have known if I had just gone there. And you know, sometimes you see people, and you pray for them, and nothing happens. Don't think that that's where it ends.
Yeah. Amen.
Keep on praying as long as you can, but then just leave it up to the Holy Spirit, knowing that you've sown seeds, that you've prayed, God will answer eventually. This is also a granny that we took some jackets to, hoodies, and Jordan, she's looking after. There's more photos there. This is a family of three mothers, single moms, and those are all their children. They have many children in one house, and so we really take them beans every so often. They're involved in our Bible study, and they got your jackets. And this is another one of your jackets. We went to her house. She's... She's not involved in the Bible study, but we went in there and she accepted Christ and she was healed from, I think it was back pain, all because of the jackets. The jackets is not just a jacket. The beans is not just beans. They're opening doors. They give us a voice. We are allowed in those homes sometimes just because they're after that jacket. This is our little church. We have about maybe 100 to 150 children coming to church every Sunday. We have two services. The first one is just like all the children and can get quite loud. The second service is for the more serious children and the older people, the adults. Just quickly, this inside the church, people are very close to each other, so you can't have any space issues there. We are trying actually to find a piece of land we can actually build a building on, and we've applied like 6 years ago, and nothing, because in this area you don't buy land. In South Africa, you buy land, but not in this area. The townships is you have to be given land, so you apply and it's located to you. But you probably know the racial history of South Africa, apartheid, segregation. This is still very much alive. So this is an area that they give parcels to local people, Sotho people, but I am not Sotho and I'm white, so they kind of don't like that. But fortunately, God has given me a voice, somebody who can speak for me. And so now there's actually a little chance of us getting a piece of land. And that will be so amazing because the abuse in this area is very, very high. There's lots of rapes, a lot of domestic abuse. So we would like our little building to both be worship, a house of worship, and a house to feed children. And also, there should be a little room on the side for in case a little girl feels threatened. Then she can go and sleep there for the night. Because this is happening a lot. And because the middle generation is basically gone, many of the children are raised by their grandparents. So there's just a lot of struggle. This is Miriam, one of the Thursday Bible studies. When school is out early, which happens often, the children just come to the Bible study. So that's her preaching. In this case, all these children just arrived on a Thursday. This is the group that accepted Christ. And then some of this group said they're struggling with nightmares. So then we prayed for that as well. This is Shannon Conan from GOF and some other guys praying for their nightmares. So just to give a little reflection of what we do have the food ministry and we have the church, and we do a lot of home visits. And the one thing I realize is that God is just so ready to heal. And sometimes people like you enables us to go into homes with jackets, with blankets, with Bibles, and with food. And it just opens the door, so you can never think your act of kindness, like just Pastor Rob's act of kindness when he was helping Shannon move, that just snowballed, right? I'm gonna cry again. So into this big thing later on, the connection that just feeds so many children that you can physically reach. just the same way, you know, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. And we sometimes forget that. But kindness, even the smallest act of kindness, can open a door to your neighbor that doesn't look like you, or to your guy that works with you that's not of the same political party than you. Anything like that. I've seen God open doors through kindness. And it's just quickly reminding you of Galatians 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, and faithfulness. And then Romans 2, verse 4 to 5 says, or do you think lightly of the riches of God's kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing the kindness of God that leads you to repentance? So we have to remember, it's not because we're awesome, because, I mean, we are awesome, but but God has reached out to you first. And then it's just that then out of kindness, we need to start using our mouths. We need to be brave and bold and go up there. And we often go into the homes of the people. That's one of my favorite things. And sometimes, you know, when you go into the homes of people, you realize the strongholds that there are. In this area, there's like, there's so many witch doctors. Just one in every street, if not two. And so it's so part of the culture that it's like interwoven, just like that woman said she knows the Holy Spirit. But if we don't look and see and look with the eyes of God, we don't realize that she's talking about ancestral spirits. It's really hard to reach and break those chains. That culture is, and they're so sensitive because I'm white and they're black, and I'm from a race that's oppressed them in the past, and I'm not only the race but from that people group. So it's like a Nazi reaching out to a Jewish person. It's just so hard, and God is using that to kind of sneak attack the culture. We have to be so careful to say, okay, it's just a cultural thing, because these people say, this is part of our culture. These beads that's around is part of our culture. There's nothing wrong with it. The ancestral spirits, we honor them when we speak to them. It's part of our culture, and I feel like in the same way in the West, we have things that binds us that we say, oh, it's part of our culture. We can play video games that's about people being shot and what. And we watch movies where people, Lion, Black Panther, and all kinds of people speak to their ancestral spirits, and you say, oh, it's all right, it's the culture. But compromise sneak in, and this is what caused a lot of African churches to become really just witchcraft. Because we said, it's okay, we give a little here and we give a little there, and at the end of the day, we mix the Bible with witchcraft. And in the West, we have the same thing. It's less black and white, is less clear, but it sneak in there. Uh-huh. It's like the wall you're talking about in Nehemiah. The wall is no good if you have just a gap in the gate.
Yep.
So you go and you open the window to just have a little taste of something, a little taste here, but you're leaving a window open for the enemy to come in. So your wall is only as strong as your gate.
Yep.
It's just something I really see, is that compromise is what snowballed into heresy, basically. And the one other thing that is really important, I think, when you pray for healing, is words. The way we put our tongue in submission to the Holy Spirit And I was just going to read Proverbs 18, verse 21, that says, your words are so powerful that it will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences, which means that our tongue will, our words will have consequences. We cannot just utter them, say we're joking, but it's so painful, or say it's our culture. Oh, this is just a cultural thing. We didn't mean it. We didn't mean to hurt. But where it is when you stand on a hill, it's like a pillow with feathers in it. When you open and shake it out, the wind takes it everywhere. You cannot gather those feathers again. And then Proverbs 15, verse 4, when you speak healing words, you offer the fruit of the tree of life. But unhealthy negative words can crush hopes. So it's just amazing that we do have a creative power in our tongue. And when we go out and pray for people, we bring that life. We bring that freedom. And as Jed was mentioning about being a conduit, we are not going to bring anything of God to people if our conduit, if our hose is blocked. You know, we have to, and there's not going to be any living water coming out of it if it's not connected to the source. And so we have to really focus on keeping that hose empty, not full of mice and weeds. But also keep it empty so the water of life can flow through us. Amen. And reach the people so we can give them the water of life. And I do want to also talk to you about this two words I thought was from God. The one, I had a dream like maybe 2 months ago that I was here and worship was going on. It was amazing. But there were some people that couldn't raise their hands. They couldn't worship. And then as I approached them, I was about to say, hey, can you just put up your hands or something? But then I saw that they were entwined with thorns. And any kind of movement to praise God caused extreme pain for them. So I just want to kind of warn you that sometimes when people find it hard to worship, they might be in pain. And they might be in bondage, and we need to release that first. And you know, words of love, words of worship can cut those thorny things that binds people. And then I really see Harvest Church as a church of people that will free bondage. And it's just really one of the things that frees people from bondage is when you go and you speak, and you reach out, and you evangelize, you pray, you worship. Tongues is very powerful. It's just helping you connect. Because it's so hard sometimes to know what to pray.
Yeah.
I personally don't know much about praying. You know, I just, sometimes, more often than not, I don't have the words to pray. But then, you know, when you pray in the Spirit, God does it for you.
Yeah.
The other thing is just be bold. Don't be scared. I mean, there's one thing I really felt heavily on my heart to say to y'all. Y'all. I got the southern. and that is, when you're not healed, it doesn't mean it's not a reflection of your walk with God. It's maybe God just wants to walk with you a little longer, spending more intimate time with you. And the same way, fortunately, what we do, if we pray for healing, it's not us. It's not. It doesn't depend on us. If you think it depends on you, you will beat yourself up. Yeah. You will carry a burden that's not. It's going to be too heavy for you to bear. It's God. You just have to be the conduit, You just have to be empty. Because I told you before, but you know, last time when I started praying for people, I would focus so hard. When I pray for people, I would say, God, please heal them. And I would feel like I need to use my brain to penetrate their bodies. And I would try so hard. And I felt like God was saying, what are you doing? You cannot mind control them. You cannot you cannot suck the cancer out with your mind. Just be obedient. Just be an empty vessel, and I will do it. It's not you. And it's just one thing that I'm so thankful for, because if it wasn't just for that, I'm sure there would be no healings. It's just that's just the one thing, is that you can do it. You just have to open your mouth, because Rob knows I'm not one that can stand here and talk. I don't have that gift, but I can just tell you what God tells me. Yeah. And the other thing actually that I was seeing while y'all were worshiping was the big, like your harvest church, and I'm sure you're getting a lot of words like that, but I saw all this weed being sucked into this church, like souls, like a harvest, but then it's not only coming in, yeah, it's also going out. That some of you are going outside. You're taking the grain, the food. Now the souls are now turning into seed. So you have to plant seed to gain a harvest. So it's going out there. You're feeding the surrounding area with healing, with food. It's like fruit, low-hanging fruit. And it's going to go into the surrounding area. So we have to be careful. Our words can hurt. It can destroy. It can bind. But it also release, it can heal, it can bring life. I do want to talk a little bit about the different healings that we've seen. It's just the one, some of it, like the death ears, it takes a while. Sometimes you see it right away, but it's just you cannot put God in a box. You just have to submit to the Holy Spirit. And a lot of the children has severe mental issues. They live with their grannies and their parents who's witch doctors. And it's amazing how God does a sneak attack. Like a lot of our children come from homes where one parent is a witch doctor. So they come in and they go home and they bring the gospel to their parents. And then we get jackets. And we can go to the homes of the witch doctors and say, hey, here's a jacket. And then we bring the gospel. So it's just amazing how God, just his plans are so infinite. You know, if I had to plan it ahead, I would never have thought of this. And then a lot of the healings, there's one time that the man was, he was struggling with voices, almost like schizophrenic. And when we prayed for him, the chains fell off him. He said he felt chains fall off him, physically. But then he went back to witchcraft. The second time he came back, it wasn't so easy to give him freedom. So just don't play around with the gifts of God. If God gives you freedom, if God does a miracle for you, don't play around. Don't think it's a cheap thing, because it costs God everything. So I was just thinking also of how, you know, anybody can just speak the word of God. Because my one translator, she's HIV positive, and I was doing a Bible study. And there was one woman who, she's wore the beads of the witch doctors this whole time. She always come to Bible study. But then when I spoke to her and asked her to cut off the beads, She wouldn't. She cut it off once, put it back, kept on coming to the Bible study. And then my translator said something to her and preached to her. And that changed so much, even though my translator doesn't look to anybody like a preacher woman or like an evangelist. She knew the words to say to release this woman. And don't ever think that you are not strong enough or smart enough or spiritual enough. Anybody can do it. And maybe God wants to use you and not anybody else to release somebody. So, anything else, Pastor Rob?
Whatever you want.
We just really want to pray to heal you guys. I really want to spend more time in prayer than talking.
Okay. Worship team.
Worship team, come on. Okay, can we stand to your feet, everyone? We're going to go back into a time of worship, and then I'm going to invite you to come pray or to be prayed for. We're going to pray for you right down here. Don't clog up the aisle. If you come up to the altar, and Miss Grenay and the pastoral staff elders, they'll come pray. We're going to pray as long as we need to get everybody prayed for. So we're going to worship, and at any time that you feel like that you're ready to go, then you guys will be released to go, and you can go and enjoy the rest of your day. I would ask you to just, wait a couple minutes here until we can get into the flow. But we saw many people, the whole altar filled at first service with people that needed prayer, and they were all prayed for. And we'll pray as long as we need you to pray for anyone. So if you need, they've also said, Ms. Corday told me this, that they've been praying for marriages and they've been seeing a lot of breakthrough in marriages. And so if you have anything going on relationally you want prayed for, or anything going on in your body that you would like prayed for, if you're struggling with anxiety or any emotional health or anything like that, she told me that she would like to pray for that. So if anybody's struggling with that, we want to go ahead and pray for that. And if you know somebody or a loved one or somebody else that's going through something that's sick or going like that, you can come and stand in and you just let them know, hey, I'm standing in for my cousin or, my wife or my husband or whoever it may be that you want to go ahead and pray for them. Now, people that have a prayer life, they actually have authority when it comes to praying like this. And, I don't mean to embarrass Miss Cornet, but she's one of the richest prayer lives of anybody that I've ever met. During the time that we've known her, she's prayed with us through some of the most difficult times that we've ever been through. She stood with us and she prayed with us for so many hours. She would pray with us through it. And she comes and stays at the house and you get up at 4:30 in the morning and she's outside praying already. And, she hears from the Lord. She's anointed of God. It's just simple faith. And what you see is kind of what you get. There's no flair. There's no trying to impress anybody. It's just a genuine person that's used by God. So I want to encourage you that this is your moment. We wanted her to be able to pray for you and not to miss this opportunity. Sometimes people go, oh, no, I'll just deal with it on my own. And you continue to kind of suffer through things when the Lord has arranged a time for you to get free. So as we go into worship, I want to encourage you, anyone that needs prayer for anything, to step out of your seat and come all the way down. And remember, just come as close as you can to the altar and fill the whole altar. And we'll pray for every last person before we go. And then anyone else, as we get into worship, when you feel like you're ready to go, this will be our, no official dismissal today. Just whenever you feel like that you're ready to go, you guys will be free to go. So come to the altar now, please. Amen.